Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your home is going into foreclosure, and you feel like a financial wreck. You don't know where to turn for accurate information. I'm bankruptcy attorney Travis Gagné. Let's talk about some legal options. If we work quickly, we can propose a plan to save your home, modify the loan, or in many cases, even eliminate your second mortgage. The consultation is free. I've helped hundreds of people just like you make informed decisions about whether to save their home or exit it on a reasonable, organized timeline. The chapter you choose sets the tone for the next chapter of your life. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. And we got our loud and local band of the week. It's Yellfire. It's our loud and local band of the week, Yellfire. You want to find out where they're playing, how you can get their music? Just go to the BJ and Migs page of KISW.com.
Any band that compares themselves or says their influences are Botch and Kiss is all right with me, and they sound heavy and awesome. I love this band. They're very cool, and they have a new record called Lara Flynn Boyle. Check out Yellfire.
And check us out on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. on KISW, because that's where you get two solid hours of all local music. A lot of great bands like Yellfire. And in spite of what Steve says, the Seahawks say it's a Green Friday and Monday's Blue Monday.
Yeah!
Official from your Seattle Seahawks.
It's Blue Friday every Friday.
Yeah, that's it. Apparently,
every single Friday, even when they play on a Thursday. Yeah,
doesn't matter.
Even during a bye week, it's always a Blue Friday.
Doesn't matter what the Seahawks say themselves.
Nope. So I defer to Steve.
They didn't say. The texture said that they told us that it's not Blue Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking here. It just says, let's get hashtag Green Friday ready. Don't forget your Sounders, Rave Green, or Action Green tomorrow. But at no point did it say that you can't celebrate Blue Friday.
There you go.
It just says Green Friday, then Blue Monday. It's all over the bloody little thing.
We're going to do Blue Monday as well.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
Well, I'm glad you're going to keep doing that.
Yeah. I think if you're going to wear green, you can't
wear your green, wear your blue, wear whatever you want to wear.
Yeah.
Wait, what are you?
I thought I had green underwear on.
Oh, okay. No, you started digging in your pants. I'm like, dude, what the hell, man?
Dude, you're not at home. You're not in your sweatpants.
Friday just started way early for Steve right there.
I got green pants on, though.
Yeah.
Good job
for you.
Let's get to our contestant today. We've got Tim in Tacoma. Tim, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Excellent. What's he playing for today?
Ravi's playing for tickets and meet and greet passes to see the Black Keys over at the Tacoma Dome on November 23rd. Go to KISW.com for all the details. If you want to see the Black Keys, their tickets are available now at Ticketmaster.com.
All right, Steve, get out of here. For those playing at home, Tim will have 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. Tim, you can pass all you want, but you will only get 3 guesses per question. Are you ready?
Yep.
Who played Ike Turner in the 93 Tina Turner biopic, What's Love Got to Do with It?
Pass.
Which actor played Michael Kelso in the sitcom That 70s Show?
Pass.
The cerebellum is a part of what organ in the human body?
Brain.
Yes. What war was fought in the United States from 1861 to 1865?
Civil War?
Yes. For what baseball team did Kirby Puckett spend his major league career?
Minnesota Twins.
Yes. A hotel employee that assists in making reservation goes by what French term?
Concierge.
Yes. Finish the title.
And Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah. Finish the title of the 1988 film A Fish Called What?
Wanda.
Yes. Yes. How many points are the E and O each worth in a Scrabble game?
One.
Yes. Who wrote Around the World in 80 Days?
Jules Verne.
Yes. When it comes to internet slang, what does AFK typically stand for?
AFK?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's that stand for?
I don't know.
All right. Well, eight correct.
No, that would be IDK.
Thanks, come on, BJ.
Yeah, thanks, thanks for that one, BJ. Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong, but I mean, yeah, that's not what we're doing here.
Okay. I tried.
You did try. And I love that quick thinking on you, so good on that.
Thanks, buddy.
Steve.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Who played Ike Turner in the 1993 Tina Turner biopic, What's Love Got to Do with It?
What's Steve
Ooh. I'm going to go Keanu Reeves.
No. That's it.
Is it Lawrence Fishburne?
Yes. What actor played Michael Kelso in the sitcom That 70s Show?
Oh, Ashton Kutcher.
What?
Ashton Kutcher.
Yes. The cerebellum is a part of what organ
the
in the human body? Yes. What war was fought in the United States from 1861 to 1865?
Oh, the War of 1812.
No. That's it.
Civil War.
Yes. For what baseball team did Kirby Puckett spend the...
Minnesota Twins.
Yes.
Yes.
A hotel employee that assists in making reservations goes by what French term?
Concierge.
Yes. Finish the title of the 1980... 88 film A Fish Called What?
Wanda.
Yes.
Wanda.
How many points are the E and O each worth in a Scrabble game?
Six.
No.
Nine.
No.
Two.
No. Who wrote Around the World in 80 Days?
Amelia Earhart.
No.
I'm going to go Steven Spielberg.
No.
Moses.
No. When it comes to internet slang, what does AFK typically stand for?
Away for now.
No!
Oh.
Now is an N, not a K.
Away
good
for
job.
No.
Wow.
Good job, buddy.
Well, away.
Yes.
Exactly.
Bart knocker.
Wow.
Away from the knocker.
He's going to keep trying on this one, but in spite of all that, Steve, you get seven correct, and you lose.
Oh,
yeah!
Eight
to seven.
Woo!
Congrats to Tim.
Play that song, BJ.
Good
play
job. I love Tim. I'm
a loser. His name is Steve.
Oh, Steve, started so strong. I thought you were going to get a perfect 10, and then it all fell apart.
Sure did.
It did.
Tim, you hang on the line.
I'll tell
you. I know he was worried there. Hang on, buddy. You get that prize, bro. Nope. The E and O are both worth one. Tim got that one correct. He also knew that Jules Verne wrote Around the World in 80 Days.
Yeah, I knew Steve wouldn't get that.
And I was surprised. I thought this was a gimme on this one, the AFK.
Away from keyboard.
Away from keyboard.
Oh.
Yeah.
The AFK Tavern.
You were signed it sort of close there, but not really.
So, no.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to Tim on beating Steve this morning.
Yeah, man. You tie or beat Steve, you get the prize just like that. Congratulations, Tim. Thank you for my song, brother. So a lot of people think that Chris Brown is a yard sale, but actually Chris Brown actually held a yard sale. I think that's important to know.
What?
Yeah. He had a yard sale in his home in California on Wednesday. And one woman walked away with one of his old hoodies.
Is he having a hard time financially?
I don't know what the hell he's doing, why he would do it. And how about this? She got home. She checked the pockets of one of Chris Brown's old hoodies that she bought at a yard sale he held. And in the pocket, there was a bottle labeled Panda Smoke. It had a picture of a panda blowing smoke on it. And yes, it was a pill bottle filled with weed.
Oh, wow. Nice.
What? I don't understand.
Dude, I'm looking at a picture. There's like a line around the block of people, and it's the headline says, Chris Brown invited the world to his mansion for a high-end yard sale.
Okay. I mean, that's cool. Who wouldn't want to go to it if you could get there and go to it? That's nuts.
His net worth is $50 million, so I don't think he's hurting financially.
Oh, you know.
So,
I mean,
so what is
all these streaming services you have to subscribe to, it gets a little costly.
What's happening? What's going on, man? I don't know.
Publicity.
Yeah, that's
I got to imagine has a lot to do with it.
By the way, I have to say one thing.
He's donating a portion of proceeds to a bunch of nonprofits that he supports.
Oh, okay. And I suppose a lot of people love yard sales. I will say this. He's on the right track. I love yard sales, and I love garage sales, and I love all that. So, you know, if, in fact, part of his audience loves him as much as I do, it's a brilliant idea.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wasn't there a football player for the Hawks when he left the team that he was doing kind of like a little bit of a yard sale?
I can't remember.
Eddie Lacy, maybe?
Maybe.
I can't remember.
Well, I'll tell you.
Oh, he was doing a yard sale leaving Green Bay to come to the Hawks.
Oh, yeah. How cool is that? Of course, in Green Bay, dude, it's like you could hold a yard sale at the stadium because it's just a bunch of houses around there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the weirdest location for a football stadium. It's in the middle of a neighborhood. It doesn't look like anything you'd expect a stadium to look like as far as where it's located.
Yeah, it was Eddie Lacy that did it before he moved. Yeah.
Good job.
Some guy says he spent $470 at Chris Brown's yard sale, picking up some old Nikes, some other limited edition sneakers as well. It was all my size, so it's perfect.
I guess Chris probably has a ton of stuff that he doesn't even know about or use.
And weed.
Or whatever.
Apparently doesn't even know where he keeps his weed.
Yeah, the fact that he did actually, I mean, I'm assuming that's his hoodie. I don't know. You know, a guy's got an entourage. Who knows if it's just one of his buddy's hoodies that was, you know, that he just was in his house. He goes, yeah, I put this out there, too. I just don't know. But the fact that you got that old panda weed in there, good for that.
So he says, wait, Chris Brown smokes weed? LOL.
Well, I think he needs, he needs to. You know, the guy had some anger issues, and there's nothing that calms that down more than weed. So that's a guy you want smoking weed. Or doing anything at all to chill him out.
Case by case. I know some people that are still angry when they're stoned.
Do they really get angry when they're stoned?
The worst.
Boy, that they should get their money back. Because that's not supposed to do that to you.
Or they should realize they have some serious anger problems.
Well, there is that, yeah. I will say about Chris Brown, he is the perfect example of a guy that's been forgiven, including by the one person that, you know, was at the epicenter of all his troubles, and that would be Rihanna. She has definitely patched it up. I think didn't she do a collaboration or something with him, and people were they were all pissed off about it.
Freaking no.
Yeah, I just read something. It was the reason it was the news is that, like, why would Rihanna be doing anything with this dude?
Right.
But she's of the mindset that, look, you got to forgive people, and especially if they take accountability and do their best to get better. And I think and I've said it before, this is what we have to do as a society. So Chris Brown is the one guy that shows us that people can forgive him, and he did something that was pretty bad in some people's eyes, and people are still forgiving him, and I think we need to do more than that.
I think it was bad in everybody's eyes, personally, but...
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I don't exactly know what went on. I only know the stories, but I like the fact that people can forgive people. You have to be able to, especially if you're contrite and you do whatever you're supposed to do to serve your time and apologize.
I'll
you got to be forgiven.
You just keep up on the musical stylings of Rihanna.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I do. I mean, come on, you know me. I love Ri. Is it Ri? Is that we're calling her? I have no idea. Yeah.
Who's we? It's not me.
No, yeah, not it.
Oh, okay. But you know Tay Tay.
Oh, hell yeah.
All right, fine. All right.
I'm a Swifty.
Okay, I think I'm going to piss off a guy named Rev and maybe a lot of other geeks about this.
This is going to be good.
Okay.
Yeah, because Disney is going all in on the Oscar hype for Avengers Endgame, which I just do not believe it deserves an Oscar. It may get one, but I don't believe it deserves one for Best Picture.
I hope it does, because then I can say I saw an Oscar-winning film.
Yeah.
At least one.
Yeah. I liked Infinity War better. I think that could have been Best Picture.
I would agree with that, absolutely.
Yeah. Robert Downey Jr., they're saying, should be definitely getting an Academy Award nomination for his role in that movie. I think there's better performances out there. That's just, I feel like there's got to be better performances than what he did. Not that he was bad, it's just, I don't think that was such a great performance that deserves an Oscar.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that anybody specifically deserves an Oscar nomination for Endgame. It was a good movie.
They're pushing everybody, Rev.
But I don't think that anybody had Oscar caliber acting in that movie.
I agree, and yet they're pushing everybody. Like, Disney's going, you've got to nominate Chris Evans and Mark Ruffalo and Chris Hemsworth and Jeremy Renner. And I mean,
I know it's not a popularity contest, but I mean, at the end of the day, that movie dominated in the box office. I mean, it was a monster of a film. Maybe Oscars are just if I was the Oscars, I'd be like, hey, we'll get more eyes on our stupid television show if we maybe give these guys a nod. Because maybe somebody who doesn't watch the Oscars is like, well, crap, I love the Avengers. I want to see if one of them wins this.
So if that's the case, which I think, the Golden Globes, I think, are supposed to be more like the popularity contest, That would be a massive change for the Academy Awards because they've never been that way.
I would love it because it would piss off all the snooty Academy Award people if all of a sudden Iron Man wins Best Actor.
And I really think Black Panther had a better chance of winning over Avengers Endgame. I really think that Black Panther was a better acted movie.
Yeah.
Better acted. In other words, like, you know, you could argue that Michael Jordan's portrayal, I think that...
Oh, of Killmonger, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was a better performance than anybody in Endgame.
That was a pretty intense performance.
Yeah, and so I feel like that would have made more sense to me, and I think Black Panther was a better movie than Endgame, and I feel like that, if one was going to win an Academy Award, I do. I just have to say
I can't agree with you on that one. I've been following you for the rest of them, but not on that.
You saw both, right, Steve?
What?
You saw Black Panther?
What?
Checked right. out.
We're done. Okay.
I just want to see Spider-Man win an Academy Award because that'd be pretty cool.
That would actually be neat.
He
doesn't
really
deserve it, but it would be neat.
Well, he is the best. I like his Spider-Man. I like him a lot.
Yeah, I think he's the best Spider-Man and the best Peter Parker, but again, still not Oscar quality.
I mean, quite frankly, I actually like his acting. I think I'm with Steve on this. I wouldn't mind seeing Tom Holland get a nod. Wow. I think he does a really good job.
How about this? One texter says, and I 100% agree with them, Chris Hemsworth deserves an Oscar for playing Fat Thor.
Yes.
He did have a pretty good arc with all of that.
You know what? What he did... You know what? There's an argument for that just because Chris Hemsworth has more range than we give him credit for. When he has changed to comedic Thor in Ragnarok
like Thor. I used to not give a crap about Thor. Thor was boring.
Yeah, and he was, and I think Thor was boring in the first couple of movies, but then they stepped up the comedy. And I've known a little bit about Chris's acting comedically because I saw him in, everybody hated him in that Ghostbusters movie, but he was funny as hell in his role in the Ghostbusters movie, the female one. I don't know if I'd argue. I think I could get with that. I still don't. I still got to be thinking there are better performances in movies than that, though.
Yeah.
It's so subjective. I mean, all the movies they give Oscars to are just like these boring, just news fests of films. And these actors are just like, oh, that's great. Yeah, you just played something with something.
But you kind of don't like to swim in the deep end of the movie pool. That's the problem.
No.
So you're not going to ever see a really great performance.
I'd rather just drown in the end of that pool if I watch all these
movies. I mean, there's
movies.
Some really, you know, when there's powerful movies out there about real life stuff or whatever.
But
I mean,
Steve,
you
know, yes, the 2018 winner was The Shape of Water, where a man has sex with a mermaid.
Yeah, Steve, how could you miss that?
How could you miss it?
Actually, it was a lady having sex with like a weird fish creature.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, backwards.
Yeah, see, you're
less
lost
interesting.
Me.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. See, Rev doesn't know what he's talking about
no,
either.
No, I don't.
We can count on Vicky, though, to be cultured.
Well, like, my thinking is it does deserve an Oscar. How many people were crying at the end? I cried my eyes out.
And who brought that emotion out of you? Robert Downey Jr.
Exactly.
Well, the award goes to Iron Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't even give it to Robert Downey Jr. Yes. It was Iron Man.
Yes.
I mean, really. Sorry, Robert, you're okay, but really it was Iron Man that we think should get the award.
Vicky's right, though. That was an emotional moment. Even my wife, who doesn't care about these action, like these Marvel movies, was getting choked up by that scene.
Yeah, here's the problem. Okay, spoiler alert if you haven't seen Avengers Endgame, but if we don't see the whole, oh, I got a kid now and all that, we don't care.
But that's part of the performance, man. Like any movie, you could say, if this didn't happen, why would I care? Like,
I think that's an easy thing in movies where they go, oh, the parent of the kid died, or the cat jumps out and alien scares the crap out of you.
It's more than just the parent of the kid dying. Yeah. It's the leader of the crew. It's the guy.
He's the one that started it all.
The brains behind all of it.
Yeah. I understand how important it is to fans of the franchise. I won't disagree with you there. I just don't think that it's probably the best performance of the year. I don't think
it's. Well, what's better?
What's better? Yeah. I haven't seen all the movies that would be up, so I can't say, but I would almost bet money he's not going to win it. I just
got to be. He's not even going to get nominated.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I know there's going to be better performances. Nothing against him. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. You know what? I'd love to be wrong. It would be great for a superhero movie to actually get some, love. But I just, I don't know.
No, just give an award to someone from a movie that nobody ever saw. That's what it feels like. That's what the Oscars feel like to
you
me.
You are a very cultured man.
That's all I know I'm not. I'm meat and potatoes when it comes to my films. I get it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But it's like, sometimes I'm like, what is this movie? I never even heard of it. Was it even in a theater? Who saw it? Other than the person that's like, reviewing it and giving it the Oscar. You guys don't have answers?
No,
I'll say the only other one people are thinking might end up at the Oscars is the Joker movie.
Who saw that, Vicky?
Nobody.
Only the people that saw it saw
that
it.
Would make sense. That elicited a lot of emotions from people.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there's no way that Robert Downey Jr. is better than Joaquin Phoenix. I'm sorry. You made a very good point, Vicky. There's no way that Robert Downey Jr.'s performance was better than Joaquin Phoenix's.
But he should still get nominated.
I don't think so. Sorry, buddy.
It's like your opinion, man.
Yeah. That's right, man.
Who the hell won the Oscar last year for Best Actor?
Jimmy McDangle.
Oh, okay, Rami Malek from Freddie Mercury.
From Freddie Mercury. Yes.
Close.
Yeah. He won it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that Robert Downey Jr. was on that level? As Iron Man? You think he was on the Rami Malek level?
Absolutely.
Oh, you guys are crap.
Wow,
smokers.
Yeah.
You guys really are on the high stuff.
The high stuff.
The high stuff.
You really are. You're on the you're on the goofballs, you kids.
All right. The high stuff is the goofballs.
Yeah, that's what it is. All right. It's time for Listeners on the Loose. You pick the topic. You guide the show. 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999. Anything you want to talk about, we got your calls, your texts at 917 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs. Mornings on The Rock. 99.9 KISW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. It's Listeners on the Loose, brought to you by Beacon Plumbing, Heating, and Mechanical. Listeners on the Loose, you pick the topic, you guide the show at 206-421-ROCK. You can also text us at 77999. Do remember, when you open your mouth, Steve has one rule.
And that's to show some energy and bring it, otherwise you're going to be gonged. Have to say goodbye to you.
Goodbye, old friend.
All right, I'm very excited. We're in the home stretch of just a brutal week. I have to tell
a
you.
Home stretch of a brutal week.
It's been a brutal week for your boy.
Who's my boy?
Okay. I thought for sure it would be me, but
what
all
happened?
Right, I guess
okay,
not.
I'm kidding.
Jesus, I really, you know
I'm
what?
Kidding.
I know, but I've just had a conversation with Vicky about like nobody
about?
Seems to get it.
All right, so why is it brutal? Because it's Friday.
Well, no, Friday's why it's great.
Okay.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. If you're in the home stretch of a brutal week, this part's actually awesome.
But what was so brutal about it?
Well, we know.
Sun's out.
See, you may not get it because you're you. You let things roll off your back easily. I'm not that kind of guy. I struggle to live the life that you live, which is the don't worry, be happy kind of life. I really do feel like that's you. I feel like you're the guy walking in the neighborhood being that guy like, don't worry. And I'm the guy just like, like I really, it's just like we're two different people.
That's very true.
Yeah, and I envy the fact that you do have that ability. This week, I really needed it, and I'm doing the best I can, but I'm ready to flip tables on everybody that I know in my life.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just one of those weeks where every button has been pushed, and I've been challenging the world of therapy. I had a call with my wife yesterday, which was, I have to call her today because it was a pity party. I was like, I hate everything, everything sucks, and my poor wife is doing everything she can to try to coach me and talk me off the roof.
And how'd that go?
Oh, yeah, I mean, she just gave up. She's like, look, I don't know what to tell you. You're kind of a mess, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I mean, it was not one of my better weeks, that's for sure. And surely not my. I wasn't a good poster boy for therapy this week to anybody.
Well, the weekend's here. You could change it and turn it around, man.
See, that attitude is what I wish I had. When I hear people say that, usually it motivates them. Me, it makes you want to choke
you
to death.
You want to choke me to death?
Yeah, I really do. The person that says, "Hey, silver lining," I'm going, I would like to hit you with my car and see if you see the silver lining. Now you're a quadriplegic.
Well, that won't accomplish anything.
Oh yes,
so
it
you
will.
Want to turn me into a quadriplegic because I'm just trying to say, hey, you can't let the entire.
Well, then I'd be standing over your bleeding body, going, "Steve, silver lining. Now you don't got to worry about walking to the store anymore." Ooh, 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 don't worry, Steve. be happy that you're quadriplegic.
No, it's just tough existing in a world with stupid people. I gotta be honest.
Oh, wow. There we go. That's just what happens in my head. With the happy people tell me that I should be happy. And it's if I could be happy, I would be happy.
But so often I'll see someone be like, my day is ruined. And it's 9 a.m. And I'm like, you have so much more time in the day to make it better. Or you could just sit around being pissed that at 9 a.m. your day is ruined. And I mean, granted, obviously, if someone died, I mean, there's nothing to fix that. But like, if something stupid happened, like whatever it may be, you still have an entire day to improve upon it. You don't have to just throw in the towel at 9 in the morning.
Well, I think, and it's an interesting thing. Since we're getting real, I think probably I had some bouts of depression this week.
Okay,
and I've been battling the hell out of that because your attitude, I couldn't find.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a reasonable attitude. You're absolutely right. I can't argue with any you say logically.
I'm not saying it's 100%
right.
That way all the time. But I try not to let one thing dictate how my entire day is going to be.
Depression is what is the killer because mm-hmm. the normal thing where you go, okay, I should be able to get out of this. There's something in my body that says there's no way you can get out of this. Like it's more than just a thought.
Mm-hmm.
And Gary Gulman's got a great show on it. By the way, HBO, his special called The Great Depression. It really is such a great show. For folks that don't understand depression and you don't know what those people go through, Gary Gulman's special is funny. It's also heartwarming. It's powerful. And he has a great line where he says, most people can sit there, sit on a beach or sit outside and look at the sunset and go, my God, this is beautiful. Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
And Gary said, I used to sit out there and go, oh, son, you've given up too, huh? Like he says, you're leaving, you're quitting. And he's like, I totally understand. I don't want to do this anymore either. Like that's what he thought of when he saw a sunset, where the average normal person goes, this is beautiful. I'm glad I'm getting to witness this. That's what depression can do for you. And if you don't know what that means, it's because you've never been that depressed.
No, I completely disagree. I completely disagree.
Wow, okay.
Because you're saying that because you've battled depression, that means that no one else understands pain or understands being down. I battle it as well. I just handle it differently. It's not saying my way is right and your way is right, but to just say, well, you don't understand because you don't understand depression. My ass, I don't understand that. I battle that all the time, but I have to pick myself up and just be like, okay, I can't let this dictate the entire day.
Do you understand? And I'm not saying that
depress
you
explain me, BJ.
No, I am going to depress explain you because there are levels of depression where no matter what, you can't pick yourself up, no matter how much
I understand that. I understand that.
So that's what I'm saying. If you don't go through that, how can you say you know what that level
but
is?
But who's to say I don't?
Because you pick yourself up.
It sometimes takes a few days to pick myself up. It sometimes doesn't. It takes a week.
I've never seen you not be able to get out of bed and do your job.
Because I know I have to pay my bills,
Gary Gulman couldn't do that. He had bills and everything. He literally couldn't get out of bed and do his job. That's how crippling his situation was.
I understand.
Was.
Everyone handles it differently. But I'm not going to just feel
I know what you're trying to say, but I feel like you're coming off as really ignorant as to the level of depression is all I'm saying. Because I've never been in Gary Gulman's shape either. I'm not saying I've been there either.
Right. I understand that. But I'm also not going to be like, well, you don't understand me. I'm like, I
understand.
You
wouldn't even say what you're saying right now if you understood that you don't know the level of crippling depression that somebody can have because you've never experienced that.
I'm not downplaying what they're doing. I'm just saying this is, for me, how I handle things. I'm not saying what Gary Goldman's going through is a bad or a good thing.
How do you know how you could handle what he went through if you've never gone through it?
I understand that. And no one can.
Well, that's all I'm saying. Maybe I misunderstood you. It made it sound like, hey, I've gone through depression, but not the way he has.
No, but you're saying, I wish I could be more like you. I handle this. Everyone handles things differently. I'm not saying you need to be like me. I'm just trying to say, hey, look, man, we got the weekend coming. I'd rather run you over and make you a paraplegic. Like, okay, cool. Like, that's a fun way to look at things.
Well, I'm being honest. Like, that's what I think of with happy people. When happy people come to me and go, you should just be able to smile your way through it. They can. I can't.
Mm-hmm.
If I could, I would, because it's a great idea.
Right.
Which is what I said to you. It's like, your strategy is a great strategy. I wish I could do it at times. And this week, for the most part, I mean, I do things in my life that I've been able to do it mostly. But this week has been a tough week. It's just been a lot of hits.
I get it.
And I can't smile my way through it. I'm doing my best. And boy, this has become a serious conversation. And I'm not, I don't know what you go through. So I'm not going to say you're not going through challenges, because how would I know what you're going through? I just know myself. I've never been at the level of Gary Gulman, But I know what it feels like to not be able to function the way some people think I should be able to function. Well, people will come to me and go, snap out of it. Gary has a great line. He goes, you know, basically in my day, the only antidepressants we had were snap out of it. And what do you got to be depressed about? He goes, mm-hmm. And that's what I grew up with, too. It's like,
sure,
you got nothing to cry about. There is a level of misunderstanding for what depression can do to certain people because of how bad they have it, whereas the average human being goes, well, just figure it out. And it's like, no, you don't understand. I don't know how to even imagine what it feels like to be so miserable you don't want to do anything and nothing can make you happy. And his whole sunset analogy is interesting because usually a sunset's beautiful, you're peaceful, you're serene. And he looked at the sunset like it was a miserable thing. That's how badly depressed he was. He couldn't even get pleasure out of a sunset.
All right.
I mean, I don't, you know, even I can look at a sunset and get a little smile, you know, even in the, you know, but he was like, it was so bad, I couldn't even do that. I mean, the dude had a great career and was living with his mother for 2 years. He went back to his childhood home. He couldn't function.
He's a brilliant comedian.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's a great writer, great everything.
Yeah. And we've had him on the show and he's been delightful. And he also had a, like, you know, he's one of those guys, Gary Goldman, we're talking about, by the way, has an HBO special. Dude, when we saw him, and his mother talked about this too, the guy always looked like he was happy. He had a smile on his face. He was showing pictures from his childhood, and the mother, she literally looked like she was, like, dumbfounded at the fact that her son has been going through this, because she's like, he was always a happy kid, always had a smile on his face. And one of the funniest moments is when he pulls out one of his childhood projects, which was The Lonely Tree. It was a book he wrote, like a coloring book. It was the story about a lonely tree that got picked on by the other trees. And he goes, Ma, was this a cry for help or what? Who as a kid writes a story about the lonely tree getting picked on by other trees and wishing that it was dead? He goes, I mean,
well, for her, I mean, she's probably like, I don't want to admit that maybe my kid has something. You know what I mean? Like, she just wants to think she brought up her kid into a world and is happy. I think that there are times when a lot of parents are a little delusional of how their children are.
Yeah, I can appreciate that.
Because they don't want to, even though it's not any fault of theirs, it's just that I think that they will somehow blame themselves for however Gary is or whoever it may be. So that's like, I think maybe she was living in a little bit of denial, if anything.
And he always seemed to always be in great spirits when we had him on the show. You know, you'd never know that guy, at least from my memory, I don't ever think.
I felt like the last time he was a little.
Was he tough the last time?
Not tough. It was just like, you could tell like he wasn't in like great spirits. If
oh,
that
wow.
makes sense. Because I remember talking with our boss, Hair Club. He's like, hey, what was up with the Gary interview? And I was like, I don't know, man. And then I started thinking about it. I'm like, it didn't seem like he was like in it to like be fun. I think it was, you know what I mean?
I totally forget that.
But I just remember that being like, wow, yeah, that was definitely not one of his better appearances on our show.
I wouldn't be surprised if that was the beginning of the end for him, where he had to take.
Oh, so it's your fault then, at the end of the day.
You know what?
You set him over the edge.
Let's be honest. I mean, you know.
You tried to run him over with your car after the show.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I have a track record of pissing a lot of people off, so I could have pushed him over the edge. I can't argue with that. Well, it is Listeners on the Loose. You pick the topic. You guide the show. We'll take your calls now. We'll do it. We'll take your text. We'll do that at 9:33 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9
KISW, The Rock of Seattle. Listeners on the Loose, you pick the topic, you guide the show. Ryan in Tacoma, you are on The Rock.
Liquor and whores.
Yeah. All right, don't forget the men's room afternoons, 2 o'clock right here on The Rock. What you got for us, buddy?
Hey, you guys were talking about the weird text messages coming through on people's phones.
Yep. Oh, that's right, because a lot of people are getting Valentine's messages that were sent on Valentine's Day. They got them yesterday, some today. What about you, bud?
Yeah, well, I had taken this lady out to lunch. It was Valentine's Day, and we had a good lunch, and we parted ways, and she declined to go back out with me, so, you know, that was that, and everything was all good, and well, last night or whenever it was, about midnight, I get a text from her with a smiley, like, kissy face. And I was like, well, that's kind of strange. I thought things were done, but I figured maybe things changed. Maybe she's interested. So I sent her a text back, and she says, who is this?
Oh, boy.
And then, yeah, so I'm like, oh, okay. And so I tell her who I am, and she says, well, look, I'm dating somebody now, so you need to just leave me alone and stop being creepy.
Oh, and she had no idea that, you know, that she got you. You couldn't screenshot it and go, look, I just got this from you today. I'm sorry.
I did. I screenshotted it, sent it to her, and she is like, yeah, well, you probably figured out how to make that yourself.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, I'm well, at that point,
so you didn't reply with, so I guess a dong pic is out of the question, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what I want to know, unless I'm reading into this, Ryan, do you think she was into you and you just never got that kissy face thing and just thought she wasn't?
No, I honestly, the way, looking back on the date, I honestly think she was there for the food, honestly, because she was laughing when we were having a good time, but I think she was laughing at me and not with me.
Oh, dude, that sucks. But she did send you a kissy face. That's the thing, you know?
Why
send a kissy face if you're not digging a guy? You don't send that, right? Is that the proper emoji to send?
No, yeah. But that was before the food, I'm thinking.
Oh, so she was just trying to butter up.
Oh, so this was before you guys even had the date. I thought this was like something she sent after the date and you just thought she ghosted you. I get it. Well, you won, Ryan. I mean, she sounds like a real lovely person.
Well, it also, it's like, how did she just assume? Like, that's a pretty hefty attempt at trying to get back with someone that you did Photoshop to make it look like they just sent you a kissy face.
Yeah. At that point, I mean, you know, that's the problem. I don't know if she's afraid of creepers or what. Can we be a little nicer to each other? And now that we found out this was a thing that happened via accident, just in general, we now can know that, like, technology sometimes can mess us up. We can't see the tone of a text. Not everybody is a serial killer. Not everybody's a stalking idiot, really, even though that the news would want you to think so.
You should have replied that way. I'm not a serial killer. Why are you being so mean to me?
I mean, that's
kissy face.
That's, you got to put that in there. If you don't put the kissy face, I don't think she knows you're serious.
Wow.
Yeah. So listeners on the loose, you pick the topic, you guide the show. 206-421-ROCK, text us at 77999. Aaron in Fedway, you are on the walk. On the rock or the walk, if you want to actually do some cooking. What do you got for us,
buddy? Hey, BJ and Migs.
Yo.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I want to thank you guys. BJ, this is your buddy Aaron, by the way.
Oh, Aaron, I was just talking about you. It wasn't good, but I was talking about you.
Yeah. So, you know my bad day yesterday. I just want to thank you guys for putting a smile on my face this morning, and you guys rock and make my day every day almost.
Yeah, Aaron got some really tough news yesterday, really, really tough news, and you know, it's one of those situations where Aaron still wants to stay on the right path. You know, you get tough news, sometimes, you know what, I know me, I would act out, I'd be upset, I'd show my anger, and the key is, Aaron, you know, what us dudes got to do as a brotherhood is remind us, look, we want to stay on the path that we want to be on, even if we have the toughest of days, and the way that we can do that is by getting support. I mean, you have every right to be upset, every right to cry your eyes out over that dude, but know that you got a lot of brothers that love you, a lot of sisters that love you, and just remember your mission. Remember that you still want to be the guy you want to be, and don't let this knock you off your own path and your own train, brother.
Yeah, you're right. And don't be too rough on you, because you helped me out yesterday, because you were there for me yesterday. So.
Once I hit Steve with a car, I think I'm going to be fine, Aaron. I think that's really important. I mean, I just have to.
As long as you feed me a no-name cake, I'm
fine
with it.
That's what it is. And also, it's not going to be, Aaron, with lots of love to you, brother. I hope to see you soon. I also, I wanted to be clear, Steve. I'm not going to hit you with my car. I'm probably going to be a rent-a-car. And you get to pick the car. Like, if it's a smart car, it probably won't even hurt you.
Ooh, make sure you get the insurance.
Yeah.
I'll get the Challenger.
Oh, you want to be hit by a Dodge Challenger?
Yeah.
All right.
Because then you can say, then it could be, if you have fun with the headlines, this man lost the challenge.
I like it.
I mean, if you're going to do it, you might as well make a good headline out of it.
You know, you are the guy who, if you did become a paraplegic, you probably would have a good time. You know, you are, I mean, seriously.
I would try.
I don't think you take anything seriously. That's why I do wish I was you. I wish that whatever goes on up there in that hamster cage of a cerebrum you have, really, I wish I could have that happen. He's like, well, here's what. Well, if you're going to hit me, get a Challenger so I can say I lost the challenges. Is that all you're going to say when you get hit by a car?
No, other people will say that. I want people to crack jokes about it.
Okay, there you go.
Make sure and tell me the joke, Steve, and I'll tell them.
Okay,
so
thanks.
They're good ones.
I mean,
talking about that Valentine's Day text problem that people are having. Someone says, I got a happy Valentine's Day bro text from my sister last night, but she passed away back in May.
Oh, that sucks, dude.
That's got to just be the toughest thing to see.
And a few people went through that with exes and lost loved ones. And I don't know how I would feel about that. Look, it stings, and she's not there anymore, but if you also feel like, you know, they're in your heart, and, you know, if you believe in any kind of afterlife, or if you believe in ghosts, you know, you got to think that these people would try to find a way to touch us in their lives. I would like to look at that like, hey, this is my sis reaching out. And I know technology explains it one way, but isn't that amazing that it was him? Like, her message was the one that didn't get... It's almost like if I were doing like a Doctor Who episode, I would not have that text go through because I knew via time travel that I wasn't going to be around, but I'd want that to hit you at the right time.
But then how would it feel when you find out it was just a stupid glitch from the phone companies?
Well,
and you're just like, ugh, thanks, jerks.
See, I would explain it like he had to use a glitch to make it work. But I know it was him. It was his divine intervention. My brother, my mother, my whatever.
Well, did you read that article? It was about a couple of weeks ago, maybe a week and a half ago, where a woman was texting her dad every day for 4 years after he passed away. And then eventually she got a response from whoever has his phone number now.
Oh.
And the person wrote a really nice letter back. And it was just, it's one of those little tug on your emotional heartstrings. But it's, she would always write him even though she knows he's not answering. But it was just like, it was therapeutic for her to say, hey, Dad, I'm going through a tough day, blah, 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 I miss you and all this good stuff. And she would write this long thing. And then the guy wrote back, he's like, I'm not your father, but I've been getting all of your messages for the past 4 years. And I look forward to your morning messages and your nightly updates. And then he talked about how he lost his daughter in a car wreck back in 2014.
Oh, come on.
I'm not kidding, man.
Really? This is not a made-up story?
Well, if it is, it's a pretty elaborate one, and that's messed up if someone made this
up. But isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
That's like a Lifetime movie.
Right. Yeah. He says that your messages have helped keep me alive. And when you text me, I know it's a message from God, and I'm sorry you lost. Then it goes on and on. I mean, it's a novel of a response, but it's pretty awesome. And then he even says, I think your father would be happy to know that you bought another dog instead of having children. Take care, and I look forward to your updates tomorrow.
Oh, do you think that she sends one?
Now that she knows?
Yeah, I hope.
I would.
I hope she takes this as a cool thing. I mean, you know what they talk about, windows closing and doors opening or whatever. When a door closes, another one opens, something like that, where, she lost a father, he lost a daughter, and through this miracle, which I really call this a miracle, these two souls connected in a way that helps fill the void a little bit, which I think is wonderful. I really think that's the beauty of humanity, is that your parent, if you don't have a great parent or lose a parent, somebody steps up. I mean, that happened in my life. That's why I went to that funeral for that woman that passed away, because she just stepped up when my mom passed away. She became my new mom. I didn't know she was doing it. She never said she was doing it.
Yeah.
She just did it. And she was so special to me because of that. And that's the beauty of humanity. Like, stuff like that happens. So I hope she really appreciates this and thinks, hey, this is, if you believe in a God, well, surely this has got to be, it's got to be a godly thing that this is what's happened for her.
It's pretty powerful, though. I mean, that both of them, in a weird way, have been helping each other with this random text that she's sending to a number that doesn't even belong to her dad anymore.
You know what, Steve? Now, I'll tell you right, it makes me feel so good. I only want to run you down with a golf cart. I'm de-escalating.
But then we're missing out on a text. You came up with the best headline if you hit me with a challenger.
All right, what if I hit you with a Dodge Challenger?
Here's the headline. Verified champ loses to challenger.
Oh, you're right. That's, you know what? Okay. Yeah, you know what? You know what? He's right.
And then someone says, right, if you do it, you need to yell out, dodge this, while driving the Challenger to hit Steve.
Oh, I want to do it my best Arnold. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wanted
it. Oh, wow. Like all the 80s movies.
Because that's what he would always say. Consider that a divorce. Hey, Steve, dodge this. Yeah.
I dropped him off.
That's right.
Another person says, this is freaky. I thought I was crazy because I got a happy Valentine's Day text from my boyfriend as well. In that situation, you're still in the relationship, and people are just getting random Valentine's Day texts last night.
And it's across all the phone carriers. And a couple of them have given excuses, which, by the way, they're different. And then two of them, like Verizon, they haven't said anything. But it's happening on all carriers. And people think it's some sort of third-party texting vendor that pretty much they all use, and there was a glitch in that system, but nobody's really confirming that.
I would have assumed it was a scam not to respond. You know what I mean? Like one of those weird, phishing things.
Oh, yeah. Why wouldn't you?
Someone said, hey, you guys have been playing that new Ozzy song all morning, but what do you think about it?
It's awesome. Well, I just heard you had a conversation with Ryan Castle about it.
I truly love it. It's insane how young he sounds when he sings. You know what I mean?
Which is because he's 70.
Yes. And how coherent he sounds when he sings. It's very weird. Like, you can't understand a word Ozzy's saying until he starts singing a song. And it's a new song that features Duff McKagan on bass, Chad Smith from the Red Hot Chili Peppers on drums. I think it's a badass song.
I thought he sounded good. I was just afraid, how would he sound without Post Malone?
Right.
That was my fear. I mean, together they sounded great, but you know what happens when you get a new star that gets a bump from a guy like Post Malone. You hope he makes it, but I think this Aussie kid and this garage band he put together, I think he's got a shot.
Yeah, it's a couple dads that are just banging it out in the garage together. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Somebody says that all of this actually started when his daughter came in and said, do you want to work on a Post Malone song? And Ozzy's response was, my first thing was, who the F is Post Malone?
Of course he did.
So he went into this guy, Andrew Watt, who plays guitar. He's also the producer on the song that we heard by Ozzy. And I guess that's when they started working on the stuff with Post Malone. And then it got the wheel spinning about. So in a weird way, Post Malone is what inspired Ozzy to get back in the studio and put together a new record, which is coming out next year.
Isn't that crazy? I don't know if this is the first time Duff has ever performed with Ozzy.
This sounds like the first time that either one of them have been in a band with Ozzy.
See, now, I can't wait to talk to Duff. This is because, you know, Duff. Duff, I mean, Duff is Guns N' Roses, and you know, and he's never aware of how much of a celebrity and how loved he is. And, you know, he's just like a regular guy. But this, I wonder if that was a fanboy moment for him. And I mean, he grew up, obviously, listening to Ozzy and Sabbath and all that. This had to be, like, what a moment for him.
It's got to be. I mean, it's not just Axel jamming with AC/DC. I mean, here you are doing, and same with Chad Smith. And what it sounds like is that they went in, they would go in and jam during the day and work on some songs in the evening as well. So I'm getting the vibe that they're not just playing on that one song, that it quite possibly, this new solo record from Ozzy is going to feature Duff and Chad on the rhythm section for the entire record.
Okay, look, I love
that's pretty cool.
I love Duff, but I now definitely want to talk to him again soon just to see, like, to get, like, what the experience was like to work with Ozzy. Because Ozzy is iconic.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It, you know, of everybody that's been in the world of rock, I mean, he is, gosh, you know, we talked about a Mount Rushmore. I feel like, you know, now I'm starting to chip away and think, should Ozzy be up there?
Whew.
Wow. You know what I mean? Seriously, wow. Because, I mean,
you're going to take Post Malone off of that?
Yeah, you're right. I'm probably going to have to take Post Malone. Post. And maybe pop culture? I don't know, because Ozzy has just transcended music because of what he did with that reality show. And he's just this icon. I mean, he's just this almost like larger-than-life figure. And so that's somebody who I think, if you love music, how do you even, if anybody gave you the opportunity to work with Ozzy, how do you, or even sit in a room with the guy, how do you not do it?
Yeah, I don't even know if I'd be capable of putting together, so it would be Mount Rushmore of singers? Mount Rushmore of rock stars?
Like, yeah, really, I know. I mean,
Mount Rushmore of ant snorters, absolutely.
Yeah, you're right about that, yeah.
But I don't even know where to start when it comes to like a Mount Rushmore of like singers. I mean, there's just so many.
I know.
I'd start with Johnny Cash.
Okay.
And then I would put Ozzy on that. I don't know the other two, but.
And Johnny, boy, it's tough because you could argue like, I mean, I guess, he's definitely got some rock in him, but there's a lot of country in there.
He's transcended.
Yeah, it's a tough one. You're right. I mean, it's. It would have to be a giant Mount Rushmore. Because you just can't even agree on what the hell these people are.
Well, I mean, clearly Fred Fairbass would be on the list.
Huh? You know what? That was easy for you to say. Did I just hit you? Did I hit you with a challenger without knowing it?
He would be on my Mount Rushmore.
It's Fred Fairbass.
He's the singer of Right Said Fred.
Oh, there we go.
Wow.
Wow. You know what?
Steve, you need to go home.
You're lucky
the thing is the weekend. I'm just going to stay away from Dodge Challengers.
I'll be fine, buddy. All right, here's a big question for you. What do Ryan Castle and chicken have in common? Well, you know you're going to find out at 9:51 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW. And now, the Ryan Castle question of the day.
What do Ryan Castle and chicken have in common?
I'm going to go with greasy thighs, BJ.
Greasy thighs.
Ew. Yeah, buddy.
One texter says Steve likes to gobble up both of their McNuggets. Steve likes their nuggets.
Yeah, he does.
They are all white meat now, by the way.
Yeah, well, good for you, buddy. Mm-hmm.
And delicious.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Albeit a little dry.
Magically.
And Popeyes can't seem to keep either in stock.
Popeyes.
Popeyes.
I like to go to Popeyes.
Father, can we have Popeyes for dinner?
Well, you sure can.
Not Popeyes. I say Popeyes.
Would you like Popeyes for dinner, son?
Father, Popeyes.
Popeyes is different than Popeyes.
I'm afraid you'll get stabbed, son. No Popeyes for you.
It's a kuma tata.
Got the cops in Wisconsin. They got a really weird call around 11 a.m. on Sunday. Someone reported a driver swerving all over the road and that he had a chicken on his shoulder. And when the cops found him, yeah, it was true. 42-year-old dude with a live chicken perched on his shoulder. Oh, he was driving drunk, by the way.
It's like a redneck pirate.
Yeah. Yeah, really. You're absolutely right. He is a... Oh, by the way, he got arrested. I know probably.
Good.
Ryan Castle, he's a redneck pirate and he's got a 12-pack.
BJ and Migs play of the day.
So he's paying my property taxes. Why wouldn't I be nice to him?
So do all the other callers who are trying to call in right now. It's caller 9.
Yeah.
You're going to deny them their shot?
Yeah, exactly. But here's the thing. They don't call and say hi to me like Trent does. See, I got a relationship with Trent.
His name was Travis.
See, Travis is a great guy.
So, I mean,
a really good friend of mine.
Dun, dun, dun.
That Travis, I love that guy forever. We've known each other for a long time.
DJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. Here's another question from a listener. I have a mountain of credit card bills and consumer debt. Can I still keep my house if I file bankruptcy?
Yes, you almost always can keep your home and your house, your car in a bankruptcy. Depending on what type of bankruptcy you file, would depend on whether or not, for example, you can keep your vehicles if you have payments on them still. You can almost always keep your home if you're current on the payments on your home, even in full bankruptcy. In Chapter 13, you can also keep those items. If you're behind on your house, you could catch your house payments up in a Chapter 13, take off a second mortgage in a Chapter 13. So keeping your primary assets like a home and car is almost always possible in bankruptcy.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. And thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.